time will come.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to our program, A Time Will Come. Today, I would like to share with you a trait described by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which all of us, or most of us, can relate to. This trait is very dangerous. It's an evil trait. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam warned us of how people will embrace this trait to such an extent that their religiousness and their apparent devotion will become void because of this evil within their hearts. But what is the trait and how can we save ourselves from this trait? What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about this trait in the Quran? What has our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned about it? Inshallah, we will cover these points, but following our routine, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet, the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, has said, "Whosoever sends blessings upon me on Friday, I shall intercede for him on the day of judgment." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So the main hadith, the focal point of today's discussion is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he said, "La taqumu as-sa'atu hatta yakuna az-zuhdu riwayatan wal-war'u tasannu'an." Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that the day of judgment shall not be established until zuhd, asceticism, turning away from this world, becomes like a formality. People are just apparently showing that they are turning away from the world, or they have resorted to asceticism. Really, they're not doing that. وَالْوَرْءُ تَصَنُّعًا, and a kind of a synonymous expression, but it complements what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that not only will the asceticism be something which is just like a formality, the piety of people will be fake, it will be made up. People will display piety. It won't be real. We have to ask ourselves this question: are we living in this time? And the answer is yes. We are living in an era where people are showing their good deeds, or showing good deeds, but unfortunately in privacy, within their homes, in their private gatherings, when they are not in the public eye, their behavior is the complete opposite. So if that is the case, if the public and private character, two different characters, then usually that is a sign that a person is not sincere, that a person is being ostentatious, he's showing off. And this is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam foretold, that the day of judgment will not be established until this becomes like a formality among people, this displaying of piety, this fake asceticism. In commentary of this, the scholars have said that the situation will be such that you will have people talking about the righteous, telling stories. You know, they'll be good storytellers. They'll tell you stories about pious people and they'll cry while they do that. But it's all fake, it's not real. And whatever they say will be on the tip of their tongues. It will not be something which they have in their hearts. That is one commentary of this hadith. A very clear explanation. And I'm sure you understood that from the hadith, from the text of the actual hadith. That is it not the case that people today relating stories of the awliya, they are relating stories of the righteous people, and they are showing such passion and emotion when they're doing this, but there is no action. It doesn't sink in. It doesn't really affect them, because they have not taken the moral from those lessons or from the lives of those pure souls. The strange thing is that there might be people who listened to those stories or listened to those accounts and were inspired, and they changed their lives for the better. But unfortunately, these fake preachers who have stirred such emotion among the people, they don't really have that emotion within themselves. They don't really have that sincerity. So what is ostentation? What is riya? The basic definition that is given is when a person performs an act of worship for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone does a good deed, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for anyone else or for another reason, that is a very general definition given of riya. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam described it as shirk asghar, the lesser or the minor shirk or polytheism. And it makes sense, because the deed was supposed to be for Allah, not to show the people. If you're showing the people, you're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are doing it to appease people, to make people praise you, to make people believe that you have attained a certain maqam, a certain level of piety. This riya is the downfall of many pretenders, of many people who try to behave in a way where they are giving the impression that they have a lot of sincerity for the religion, they want to serve the religion. So I would like to share with you some hadith traditions and some narrations which will put this into perspective. Sayyidina Abu Sa'ad Ansari, he reports that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, this hadith is mentioned in Tirmizi, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all the people in which there is no doubt. Then a caller will call out, and he shall say, whosoever made anyone a partner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any deed, he should go to that ghayrullah. He should go to that person other than Allah to attain his reward from him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from partners. Meaning, on the day of judgment, the ostentatious people, they will be embarrassed in such a way. They will be humiliated on the day of judgment. They will come forth expecting some kind of reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the announcement shall be made in the court of Allah that all those people who made partners with Allah in their deeds, meaning they did their deeds not just for Allah, but for other people or for other reasons, they should go to those who are other than Allah to attain reward from them. And this will not happen, obviously. This is a way of humiliating them. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam warned us about people who are ostentatious. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us some powerful examples of this. One of the very famous narrations which serves as a warning to ostentatious people, mentioned by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Muslim Sharif, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the first judgment that will take place will be the judgment of the martyr. The martyr shall be brought forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him of the favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him. He shall acknowledge those favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him, that what did you do in return? Meaning, I gave all these blessings to you. I gave you these blessings. I bestowed these blessings upon you. What did you do in return? He shall say something like this in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say, O Allah, I performed jihad for you. I fought in your way until I became a martyr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you are a liar. You fought or you performed jihad so that people call you brave. And so they did. Then the judgment will be passed about him. What will be the judgment? The judgment will be passed that he is taken to the fire, and he shall be dragged face down, or upon his face he shall be dragged towards the fire as a punishment for his ostentation. It doesn't end here. So the first example, a martyr who gave his life according to him in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reveal on the Day of Judgment that this action of his was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was to be remembered or praised as a brave person. And that happened, meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, and so you were called, it means that your purpose for that action, what you wanted from that action, was the appreciation of the people, that people call you someone who is, say that you're brave. So you got that. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to him on the Day of Judgment that the fact that you did not do it for my sake, for this sin, you shall be punished with the fire. Another person will come forward. He will be an individual who attained knowledge and taught knowledge and the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again the same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind him of the favors, the blessings that he was given, and he will acknowledge these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will be questioned, what did you do in return? This man, this knowledgeable man will say, I studied knowledge, sacred knowledge, and I taught others, and I recited the Quran for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you are a liar. You studied the religion so that people call you a scholar, and you read the Quran so that people call you a qari, and so they did. Again, the order shall be given for this particular knowledgeable man to be dragged to the fire, to be taken to the fire, and he will be dragged, humiliated in the similar way, or the same way as that martyr who was ostentatious and taken to the fire. Then a rich man will come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a lot of wealth to. The same questions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will first remind him of the favors that he subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, and he will acknowledge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him about what he did in return, and he will say, oh Allah, I spent wherever there was a need in your way, I spent my wealth in your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, you are a liar. You spent so that people call you generous, and so they did. And again, the verdict shall be passed for him that he is taken to the fire. He'll be dragged on the Day of Judgment and taken to the fire of hell. Such a powerful warning for three deeds, three very important deeds, best of deeds. One who gives his life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who spends his life learning the religion and teaching others the religion and attaining a scholarly status among the people, learning the Quran, teaching the Quran, and one who is generous and is apparently giving, spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a warning for all three actions, that if these great actions, they are actions which can lead to the salvation of people, but if these actions are not done for the right reasons, if one is ostentatious in these actions, then he cannot expect reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, punishment is waiting for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْعَذَىٰ كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَا لَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, Do not make your donations or what you give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your sadaqat, do not make them void. Do not waste them. Do not make them void by reminding other people of favor or offending. Sometimes people give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they may help a family friend and they remind that person of that favor. Oh, do you remember I did this favor on you when you were in need, I gave you money? No. Do not make your offerings, do not make what you give in the way of Allah, do not waste that, do not make it void by doing things like that. So when you give, you do a favor, forget about it. Don't remind people about it, because reminding people of favors actually offends them. It creates discomfort for them. So do not waste, do not make your sadaqat void by reminding of favors and by offending. And do not be like the one who spends his wealth ostentatiously. The one who spends his wealth to show the people, showing the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly specified that if we are going to do a good deed like giving to charity, we do it in a way where we are not displaying our deed for the appreciation of people. We are not doing it for the praise of people. Give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give sadaqah. Spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not showing other people or displaying generosity. Do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not talking about donations that are given to encourage others or an announcement which is made to encourage others. But we know. Place your hand on your heart. Ask yourself this question. Am I really doing it to encourage others? If you have any doubts whatsoever, do not take that risk and save your donations, your offerings from becoming void. The famous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Ma'un, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, and woe to those who pray. Why? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, that those who are heedless of their prayer. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, and what do? They are ostentatious, they show other people. This is their behavior, their manner. Woe to those who pray. How do they pray, or what is their quality? They are heedless in their prayer. They're lazy, they don't really pray the way you should pray. They are people who display their deeds. They are people who do deeds to show other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly instructed us to refrain from any kind of ostentation and save our good deeds, our offerings, our efforts in worship. Now I would like to give you some examples of how ostentation is expressed, or how people may show off through their speech and through their actions. And before I do this, all of you, I want each and every one of you listening to let us think about ourselves. Don't think about, oh, I know someone who does this, I know so-and-so, I see all these traits in him or in her. No, we start from ourselves. Inshallah, if we reflect upon ourselves and we ask ourselves this question, and don't tell each other what the answers are, don't say, oh yeah, I do this, na'udhu billah, I do. We shouldn't reveal our sins. We should ask for forgiveness for any shortcomings and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that with His mercy our sins are replaced with good deeds. But what are the traits, verbal traits of ostentation? I'd like to very quickly share with you some characteristics. To speak in such an eloquent way, to look, to convey your message in such a way where you seem unique among people, where you show a mastery of your language and your command of language. This can come under ostentation, yes. When you can say something simple, why complicate? Why make it complex? Just speak according to the understanding of the people. Another example of ostentation is when an author writes in his book, in an introduction, that I wrote a book of 1,000 pages, such a big book, and I did it in 10 days. So he's really trying to show how good he is, and the fact that he was able to take out time from his from his schedule. He was so busy, but he just managed to take 10 days out of his time to gift this to humankind, his book, 1,000 pages, which he allegedly completed in 10 days. Another example of a verbal ostentation is when someone is beginning an address or a speech, he in some way, before in front of the audience, he mentions how he has given so many sacrifices in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, I did this for Allah, I faced so many difficulties in my journey, in my quest to seek knowledge, I traveled from this city, then I went to that city, and I did this, and I was helpless, and on some occasions I had no one around me, I faced thirst, I faced illness, I faced hunger, and he's saying all these things, and he's giving the impression to this to the people that he did such a great favor on them. The favor was would have been upon himself, but he's giving this impression that I did a great favor upon the people by going through these difficulties and giving these sacrifices for the religion. Another trait of verbal ostentation is when someone, while talking, it's not even the topic of conversation, but somehow he will bring his achievements in. Somehow he will bring, he will mention what he has done or achieved, or his efforts in some way. And the only reason for that is obviously to attain the acceptance of people, and so that people say that he's a great person, or someone who has done a lot of service for the community or for the religion. Another trait that some people have, ostentatious people, is that they will mention all these, all their achievements to a person. They'll go on and on and on, and then they'll say to them, "Don't tell anyone, this is between us." And when they're saying that, what they're actually trying to do is they're trying to make that person, well, they're convincing that person or persuading that person to think, "Oh, look how sincere he is. Subhanallah. No, he's done so much for the religion, but he's asking me to keep it a secret. Subhanallah." Well, I will say this. If he really was sincere, he wouldn't tell you all those things in the first place. Just keep that in mind. Another thing, if someone has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with Hajj, and he's performed the pilgrimage, he'll introduce himself, "Gee, what's your name?" "Haji fulan fulan. I am Haji so and so." Was there a need to say that? No. Ostentation through the tongue. You're showing other people that you did Hajj, that you're some kind of holy man. This is something to consider. Another point to mention here is someone speaks in a very humble way. "I am your servant. I am here to serve you. I am a faqir in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he is addressed with those same words, "Oh servant, come here. Oh faqir, come here," he would be offended. Why? Because all those words were just on the tip of his tongue. He didn't really believe that he's a servant of the people. He didn't really believe that he is someone who is a faqir in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who is poor in terms of he's given up on the world and materialism and has devoted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no real honor of his own. He's just a lowly individual. He doesn't really believe that. And that's why when you address him like that, "Oh lowly one, come here. Oh servant, come here," he wouldn't like it. Another example that is given, that when someone is speaking in a very argumentative way and being so confrontational and argumentative, the purpose is that he shows his intelligence, so he makes other people, the listeners, think, "This guy is very intelligent, this guy is super intelligent. I have to be careful around him. Look at the way he debates. Look at his expression. Look how he asserts his authority." So these were some examples of verbal ostentation and how we must save ourselves from these traits. And in terms of practically showing ostentation, people through their behavior and their responses, they can be ostentatious. For example, someone is reciting the Quran or there is the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and one is like closing his eyes and swaying and showing signs of emotion, and sometimes he might even raise his hands, and you know, he's overcome by the words, the sounds of the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or the message of the Quran. He might not even understand what the verses mean, but he's behaving as if yes, he understands, and things like that. This is ostentatious. When someone is in a gathering and he's just moving his lips. Now I'm going to read something because I can't do, I don't know how it's done. So when people see him, they'll just see him. Constantly moving his lips. People say, oh, mashallah, always doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person, he must be someone great. You know, we must be careful around him and give him respect. Sometimes people, they express such beautiful character in front of other people. Humble, they give respect and they smile, they meet. When they go back home, complete opposite. Wild animals. They behave like wild animals. This contrasting personality, these two sides to their personalities, this is something which is a serious, serious concern. Shouldn't be the case. If he is good in public, he should be good at home or in his privacy. And the last thing that I'll mention about this is that in front of people, he'll show a religious devotion, following all the prophetic way in all aspects of behavior. But as soon as he's on his own or at home, then he will be lazy, or he won't do these things. He'll just abandon all this. So it's just for the people. This is why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from this evil trait of showing off ostentation, because it destroys deeds. And remember, if you conceal your good deeds, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has encouraged this. The hadith mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that a person, if he does his deeds within a rock, in which there is no opening, no door, no window, his deeds will still become apparent. Subhanallah. Because when you are truly righteous, when you are a good person, the glow of piety will be apparent in your face, in the way you are, the efficacy of your tongue. Piety is something which cannot be suppressed. Piety is like a beautiful tree which spreads its branches, and it reaches all those around it. So piety should be concealed for you to enjoy the fruits of that piety. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the good deeds that we do, we conceal. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to save ourselves from ostentation, so that we do not destroy any good deeds that we perform. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
Our time will come. Our time will